Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
31-4, your Cleveland Cavaliers. 30-5, those Oklahoma City Thunder. It's tonight, 7 p.m. ESPN. Also, you can see it locally on FanDuel, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, you can see it locally on FanDuel.
Which means it's probably not available to us on ESPN. Is that how that works or no?
Oh,
no, you should be.
I thought TNT is always protected.
When I had what is called BreezeLine now, I got both broadcasts.
I feel like I never do.
Okay,
if it's on national.
But if it's on TNT, then they don't even do a FanDuel.
What about ESPN Plus? I got the Plus. Can I see it on Plus?
I don't know. I haven't been able to see some ESPN games on my ESPN Plus.
But so I'd ask
you, on a block network earlier over the weekend. It was
the
weird.
Fact that this got flexed, the fact that next week's game got flexed, and I think the fact you're about to see a bunch of Cavs games get flexed, is that a sign that people are coming around better late than never, and a sign that they are getting their respect?
Oh yeah. Well, you can't ignore 31-4. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but you can't ignore a team that good.
Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time since we chanted.
We haven't done a chant in a while.
That felt good. Damn, that felt good. I'm doing it again.
Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4.
Oh, yeah. As long as you keep the losses at 4, we can do this all week long.
That's right. Now it's a must-win.
And I'm sure people want us to after all that. And now it's a must-win. 216-474-0092. But do you feel the Cavs are disrespected? Because I said no at the beginning of the week. I said no. Then I heard Termini. He's like, well, I don't know if there's a record that you could have that you're going to be favored against the Celtics. And I go, well, damn it. That sounds a bit damn disrespectful. And I'm going to take it as a disrespect. Mitch on St. Clair, you're first up on the Fan.
My guys, how y'all feeling?
I'm feeling good right now. This is nice. It's nice to be flexed into prime time. It's nice to be flexed on ESPN. It's going to be different when we're on Christmas Day next year, but we'll worry about that then.
Yeah, we worry about that then. Let's just relax and worry about the moment now.
Yes.
Listen, I think the Cavs are getting, you know, a little bit of disrespect. They don't hardly talk about us. I heard Charles Barkley, you know, he was saying that he thinks that the Knicks and who else was it? It was another team in the East that can beat the Cavs. And I know Kenny the Jet Smith and Shaq looked at him like he was crazy. I just don't think analysts out there believe in the Cavs. It's something out there they just don't believe in us, no matter what. With 31
when you say don't believe in them, do you just mean championships? Because I do think people think they're very good now. I think they finally crossed that path.
No. I mean first round out. I mean second round exits. I don't think they even think they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's how much disrespect I think they get.
Well, they're not going to play now, bitch. They're not going to play Boston until the NBA, the Eastern Conference Finals, and we would have home court.
We don't have any more against Boston.
No, I just mean.
That's why I said they.
Yeah, two more.
My bad.
Go ahead, Mitch. Go ahead.
That's why I said they said they was going to lose to the Knicks or the – oh, it was Milwaukee. They said those teams was going to beat the Cavs. They don't even think they're going to make it to Boston. They think they're going to lose in the first and or second round. And that's why J.J. Redick says what he says. He says that it's a bad product because you're not promoting what you what is 31-4. LeBron – no, the GOAT, I may add. He dunked yesterday, and they was like, who cares, who cares? The Cavs are 31-4. Who cares, who cares? That's why they get disrespected. It's not only the Cavs, it's the entire NBA. The product is bad. And when you got a team out there like Darius Garland and Mitchell in the backcourt, and they doing what they doing, and they out there blasting threes, and everybody is saying – well, I still think Giannis, who is not that – that team's not that good. I still think that the Knicks, who are, you know, not that good, I think they can beat the Cavs, and the Cavs ain't going to make it out the first round. That's disrespectful. I'm sorry.
Mitch, if they're going to sit there and just bag on the lead, then why cover it? Thank you very much for the call.
Well, so this is – part of it, I
find ways
think.
To make the, you, I mean, you can't be like Chris Mannix and just dump all over – like when the Denver situation happened. I'm just using him as the example of the Denver spot. Not like I hate the guy or anything. I can't dump to remain employed. You should try to find a way to promote the sport you cover. Yeah. I can't just say everything sucks and none of this matters if I cover the NBA.
So think
just
about
because
this.
It's not the way I want the game played.
Think about this. Baseball doesn't get any national run at all. So I'll just keep this to the NBA and the NFL. The NFL, the Buffalo Bills are getting a ton of coverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are. Baltimore Ravens. I mean, people are talking about DVOA, the Baltimore Ravens, one of the best DVOA years in the last 20 years, and Lamar Jackson's having one of the best quarterback seasons.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And he's not even the MVP. And, of course, the Chiefs are always going to get their run. And I do think Detroit has gotten a ton of run. Well, the NFL has always been a sport where a bunch of teams can win the Super Bowl. The NBA, almost my entire life, up until recently, and with the exception of a few years, like the 2015 year when Golden State won it, where we know going into the season, there's two or three, at most four teams that can win. And then over the course of the season, it bears out that way. And almost always, the teams that we think can win it can win it. I do wonder if the NBA is changing, where there are more teams that can win a championship. I mean, Dallas getting to the NBA Finals last year. Now, obviously, they made a significant Kyrie trade, and they made another trade at the deadline. But Dallas making the finals last year, people really didn't see that coming. And I wonder if now going forward, and of course, we had some weird Miami years with Jimmy Butler. You had the LeBron championship year and COVID year. But I do think the NBA, there's more parity. And now that three-point shooting is becoming such a factor, why can't Boston lose in a series when they're shooting 50-plus threes and they have three cold games and now you're going on the road in Cleveland on a game seven? You know what I mean? I do think the league is changing. And for all the stuff we hate about too many threes in most cities right now in the NBA, it's also the reason that maybe it's a little more fluky, just like the NFL. Injuries, a little more fluky. You have different reasons that there could be fluke. Baseball's always had the fluke.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's always had the randomness.
Almost too much fluke.
And maybe that's the case. But that's not the case. That hasn't been the case in the NBA. Normally it's always been, do you have the best player? All right, you're probably going to win the championship. That is changing. The Cavs do not have a top 10 player on their team. And yet they can win it all.
Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Demos.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you guys. So, look. The record right now speaks for itself, and most teams in our position have made it to the NBA Finals, if you look historically at where our record is. That's great. That's super encouraging. However, that last caller hinted at, you know, like when the playoffs start, it's like the rules change, and to be the best, you got to beat the best, and we still got to go through Boston. Tonight will be a great test, but I'm looking, you know, maybe I can have my daughter write up the sign, the what's it, can't ignore 31-4. So maybe I have to write that
up. Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4.
Do it three times.
So that was disrespect, though, that we're getting from the league and the press. You know, it's I guess it's to be expected, right? Because we haven't beaten the best yet. We're getting better. Let's do it this year.
Demos, thank you very much for the call.
If the Knicks were 31-4.
I think Oklahoma City might, by the way, be feeling like if we were on in Oklahoma City,
which
actually we were at one point, but that was with a different quarterback.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we were on in Oklahoma City, maybe their fans would feel the same way we do.
They do. They feel they're being disrespected as well. Yes. And by the way, while we were talking, just saw one of the major sports networks.
They're pumping this game.
But of course they have it, so they were pumping it up. I do think you're going to see more of that, especially because, guys, we know the Lakers can't win. Golden State can't win. So bye-bye, Steph Curry. LeBron is not going to be ignored just because everything he does is still amazing to most people, maybe not Charles Barkley. But when he throws down a dunk like last night, it's still remembering that this guy could be the best that's ever played. So he's always going to get talked about. But the team, nobody thinks the Lakers can win.
No. Diane in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Diane.
Hello, guys. I listen to you all every day.
Well, thank you.
Great show.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, yes, the Cavs are being disrespected. I listen to NBA radio and Sirius XM.
Okay.
No one's talking about us. I mean, you're right, we have the best record. But do you know why they're pumping up this game? It's not because of the Cavs. It's because of OKC and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Well, I go back to the caller that we had with Zach in Cleveland where he brought up that they're going to talk about him. And I do think that, again, if Evan's numbers were a little bit better and if Evan was a little bit more gregarious than what he is,
right.
He's a fine young man. I'm not going to complain that he's quiet, but that's not what the NBA feels that they can promote.
He's Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
And people said they were bored and they were playing beautiful basketball in San Antonio. People were saying that was a boring era of NBA basketball.
Yeah.
Right, but think about it. If San Antonio had the record that the Cavs have now, and with Victor Wembanyama, they'd be plastering this every day.
Yeah,
But we are a small market team, just like OKC is a small market team. But because they have Chet Holmgren, obviously, who is out, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, we have Donovan, but everyone is leaning towards Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
But it is, and I will tell you, and Diane, thank you for the call. Because if you want to take it with disrespect, fine. I mean, you're a Cavs fan. You should take it as a disrespect. That gives us a reason to bite into it. I can explain the NBA. It's a market. The NBA is a market that is driven on stars. You can see their faces. They are open people. You see them all the time. They talk more than any other brand out there, even the NFL. You can see them all. You hear them all. You feel them all. You're looking for a North American star. And you don't have a North American star right now to carry the baton from LeBron James. The guys who were supposed to do it fumbled it. And Lima's right. I mean, if Evan was a bigger figure personality-wise, if he were a bigger personality, he might have a crack at this. He might have a crack at being that guy. But, yeah, they're going to move from where they can to find it. Victor Wembanyama, he's from France. I don't hear a whole lot about the guy, to be honest with you. Chet Holmgren, he's hurt so much. These are very young guys. These are budding guys. The guys that we thought were going to take over the mantle, I think they fumbled it. And for LeBron, you can't go to Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant's nearing 40 in his own right. The guys who were in the LeBron era, they're in the LeBron age. They're not going to be around very much longer.
Interesting, too. You know, Shai is obviously going to get run. He's averaged 30 a game, three straight years. He's, I think, third in the NBA in scoring. Also, I think tonight is going to be fun because it's not just chucking threes. Like, Gilgeous-Alexander doesn't just chuck threes. He gets in the paint. He has some old-school finishing. Donovan can get in the paint. Old-school finishing off 1 foot, off 2 feet. Shai's got a little post-up in his game. Like, these guys do some different things that aren't what we're used to watching. Like, Boston, it's a lot of just chucking threes. Even though I know Tatum and Brown can do more than that, they do just shoot a lot of threes by design. I think these teams do satisfy some of the stuff people are angry about and want to remedy, which is showing there are different ways to play the game of basketball. Plus, both these teams play defense in regular season games, and you can't say that about most of the league.
I'm going to get back to the Cavs in a second. It's a big game for one Cavalier in particular. Lima's going to tell you who in just a moment. I just saw that we have published, was this you, Mitch, or Keith, published the Ken Carman, Shedeur Sanders may be the most ready player to handle the pressure of being Browns quarterback.
That was me.
Well done.
Thank
Number
you.
One, well done. I just know I'm going to get killed because you just, guys, listen to the clip, listen to the segment. 640 is when we did it, right? Go back in the free Odyssey app, go listen to it. If it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't make sense to you. It's going to make sense to you. Not that you should run up to the stage in Green Bay and hand in the card and take Shedeur Sanders no matter what. But if you needed a quarterback, and as Zach said and as I said, you have basically pigeonholed yourself into taking a quarterback, the Browns have. It might not be the best idea, but in their realistic terms, they might have to do it. Shedeur Sanders, with the type of quarterback he is, what Jonathan specified yesterday, makes a ton of sense. He did a great job laying that out in the 2 o'clock hour yesterday. Good job by Jonathan. Loved it. And with the pressure that's been on Shedeur Sanders his entire college career, where there have been a mass of people lining up, not just thinking he's going to fail, wanting him to fail. Taking over a program that has not been good, Lima, since I was a small child and you were 10 years old. You were born in 1980, right? That program has not been good since you were a 10-year-old kid and I was 5. Taking over that program, coming to Cleveland, which hasn't been good since we were both small children. In this draft, if there were a guy who were ready for the pressure of being the Browns quarterback, it's Shedeur Sanders. That's what I'll point out.
He was one of... I don't question...
Hear me out on it, folks.
I don't question him and pressure or any of that. I was so excited to watch him play. I'm so excited to see what he had done to that Colorado team. They were dead. And obviously, Deion and him and Travis Hunter, it was great.
It was the worst program in... I don't even know if in Power 5. They were losing to FCS teams.
Yeah, people don't understand that
bad.
At all.
It was real bad.
So I think he was like appointment viewing. I just question... Unfortunately, the physical stuff with him. But mental? No, oh, yeah. I don't question any of that.
Yeah, mentally, I think he's the most ready to do it. Physically, I wish he'd put on 10 to 15 pounds at least. But I do think that, depending on your offensive line coach, he can be protected by a Kevin Stefanski offense. It's not... I've said dumber things on the radio, guys, and I will say dumber things than that, I can guarantee you. This is a big game tonight for one Cavalier in particular, Tone, before I get back to these phones. Who is it? Who is it, Tone?
Yeah, I said Darius. I said DG just because he has been so sensational this year, and he's only had one terrible game, and it was that first game against Boston when they lost, and he looked like the playoff DG that struggles against longer arms, longer legs, got smothered a bit in that game. Got the shots up. Mm-hmm. I actually liked it. I said the next day, I'm glad he kept shooting because I liked that he didn't waver confidence-wise. His confidence has grown since then. And his game, I mean, he is attacking. He is so tough right now to stop at the point of attack. But there are only two teams to me that can neutralize him. One is Boston because of their backcourt when they have Derek White, Holiday, and then obviously Tatum and Brown can guard as well. This is the team that can do it. And when they're healthy and they don't have Alex Caruso tonight, they've also got a rookie that's really good that's not going to be there. But they still have 7 guys that can defend both DG and obviously, help me out. We were just talking about him being a superstar, top 10 player in the league.
Evan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So this is the one team that can do it. This is the one team that has the backcourt.
I was naming players. Yeah. I didn't call him Evan Mitchell. Owen.
Well, forgetting his name and then calling
himself
something
else. So are we disrespecting
Mitchell?
Are we disrespecting the Cavs?
Brad Doherty? Anybody?
How can we rail on the national media? So I think this is the other team that can obviously do it. This is the other team that can throw bodies at our small backcourt and cause problems. Donovan, I've seen Donovan do it against everybody. Darius, I have not. Darius has struggled in the playoffs. And last year, maybe gets a total mulligan. Certainly looks like he deserves one for how good he's been in the regular season. But this is a defense they're going to play defense like the 90s basketball teams. They get up in you, they challenge you, they dare officials to call fouls throughout
the
game.
Fun. Hopefully they'll do it that way. Yeah. I hope that they don't kind of soft pedal it because of the injuries that they do
have. We get a little break because they don't have Caruso tonight, and Caruso is one of the rugged perimeter defenders in the league.
He's well liked by any fan base that he plays.
But they still, no matter who's been in the lineup for Oklahoma City this year, they have been suffocating defensively.
216-474-0092. Speaking of disrespect, here's Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA and who he would take over the Cavaliers in a series. Get ready for this.
Let's be honest. If the Sixers are healthy, I'm going to take them over the Cavs.
Stop it.
Just, but this is the same night you were talking about believing in the Cavs. They are 29-4 on pace to win 72 games.
They have not proven it better than the New York Knicks. If this is just my opinion. Yeah. If they play the Cavs in a series, I'm going to take the Sixers. If they play the Knicks in a series, I'm going to take the Sixers.
Wow.
The only team I have 100% faith in it's the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
I want you to put this out there. Hopefully Charles Barkley will see it. I'll make him a bet. All right? I know Charles Barkley likes to make a bet. They play the Sixers in a series. If the Sixers beat the Cavs in a series, he can throw me through a window of a bar in the flats. All right? Cavs win, I don't know what he's going to do for me, but if the Cavs lose, throw me right through the front window of a bar in the flats.
I've never wanted something to happen more.
Go right on ahead.
By the way, 76ers right now have work to do. They are outside of the play-in if the season ended today. They're 14.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And 20 on the season. They obviously have had some of their best players in and out of the lineup the whole year, and Paul George looks like he is struggling big time. Joel Embiid has popped into a few recent games and has played really well.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a rookie that is awesome, Jared McCain, who's missed the last month. He's a big TikToker. You might have seen him on TikTok.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not on TikTok. I'm afraid of...
But he is awesome, but whether they're going to be healthy, I mean, what makes you think Joel Embiid's going to be healthy at the right time? I feel bad for Embiid. I don't like the way he plays. You know, I don't like the way that, you know, he deals with refs and all that stuff. He's annoying to watch. But when he's on, he's unguardable. I mean, he doesn't miss.
When's the last time he's been on?
He's not.
Any faith.
He's never healthy. He can't get up and down the floor.
But if I'm looking at it as a Cavs fan, I'm going to take that as disrespect.
Disrespectful.
If you think about the Sixers, you think about drama and nastiness.
I think Charles is on an island on that one. I think.
Well, you heard Shaq.
Most everybody else would pick the Cavs.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. Cool Ray in Bedford. You're first up on the Fan. Hello, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi, bud.
Hey, so I don't think, I'm going to say this about the Cavs. I love my team. And I'm going to say I completely disagree with you. I don't think Garland has become a different player. I think Garland has benefited from the tremendous upside of Isaac Okoro and the addition of Strauss and the emergence of Merrill. So I think, Garland's always been the same player. I think that while we're getting disrespected, if you listen to what Charles said, he said we don't have that dog. We don't have that dog player. Like, we've seen Donovan. We know Donovan's a great player. But Donovan has had too many games in the Cavs uniform where he'll go 11 points, 7 points, 5 points. And it won't just stop with just one game.
Can I help Donovan, though? Listen, that's a fair point. I'm not going to get mad at you, Cool Ray. That's a fair point. But if Evan's better, does that make Donovan more effective, and does he look like the quote-unquote dog then if Evan's better? If Jarrett's better in these moments, if they're better off the switches and Kenny Atkinson works with it, you say no.
No, and I would say why. It's Donovan is Donovan, right? We know that. Garland has been Garland. I give Kenny Atkinson the credit because he brought out something in Okoro. He brought out something in Mobley. And Allen has really benefited. And Allen has been Allen, too. Like, I'm not saying Allen's a bad player. He's been a great player for this team. But it's those other pieces that we've been looking for to take the pressure. What makes you a dog is you getting your points and you're taking over games, and those other guys are still getting theirs. That's what makes Boston different from Cleveland, is that we know who's going to get the bulk of the points. But when you look at the end of the game, you got that you got the number one and two getting 36 points per game, and then everybody else is in double figures, where the Cavs sometime will have, you may have one or two players in double figures, and everybody else is now ghost.
But you know, that's why, that's where it gets interesting, the way we talk about playoff basketball. It normally isn't balance. We don't really talk about balance come playoff time. Come playoff time, it's where are your mismatches, who do you pick on, and can your superstars carry you? And you unfortunately, the last two times we've seen Mitchell, like against Brunson, he's gotten outplayed by Brunson. That can't happen again. If we played the Knicks, that cannot happen again.
And this is where you're seeing that Barkley and the media is not doing that, because we all recognize, you know, Spider as being the guy, but he has to be the dog. He has to start playing dog basketball and yet stay in that team concept, and that is when you win championships. Every championship has ever done that. Even Golden State, the Cavs, when they won the championship, Boston last year, even – so you got to look at – you got to have that dog person where everybody looking at him as being that dog. Right now we're playing team basketball, which is great for the season, but it would not be – it's not going to be good enough for the playoff and moving forward to the championship.
Cool, Ray. Thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. Well, that just means they have something to prove. It started earlier this season, but certainly tonight. Drew in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Drew.
I can't disagree more with what the last caller just said. I mean, I think Donovan is the dog. He's the guy that's gonna deliver in the playoffs. And I think Anthony, you're right. Like it all comes down to Garland. Can he perform in the playoffs? Can he be the number two guy? And he hasn't proven that he can do that. Now, this season has been a huge change, and I think a lot of that has to do with Kenny Atkinson and what he's brought to this team. And I think what he's brought to the team is a focus on defense and having a defensive identity that says, you know, we can score 120 a night, but we can also shut you down. And I think those guys have bought into it, and I think the real difference in this team, I mean, the roster hasn't changed. It's Kenny Atkinson and what he's brought to this team.
Drew, thank you very much for the call. Tone, I think that tonight, as much as I wanted to avoid it, thinking about Drew's call, as much as I wanted to avoid it, I think that tonight is one of those nights where if Donovan or Darius goes out and doesn't have a good game, I think we take calls about it tomorrow. I will be annoyed. I know how I am about Darius. I will turn it. I did this with Evan. I defended the Evan pick. I call him a unicorn. I know a lot of people have criticized him. And because of over the last few years, the first few years of his career, it has been brought up so many times that he's not going to be the type of player that they said he was going to be, which is very difficult, but he was not going to be the player that he was going to be, they said he was, that I became annoyed with Evan because I kept getting beat up on for defending Evan. I could see if Darius does not put up any sort of a performance tonight and does get shut down from the perimeter like you've been talking about, the length that they have defensively that Oklahoma City has, I could feel that there will be calls on that tomorrow and there will be conversation about that tomorrow. And it will only leave us with, guys, if they were to lose tonight, it's a 31-5 basketball team. It's amazing, but something's going to be in the back of your head.
Well, it's what happened after the first Boston game. We built up that first Boston game, and then Darius had his worst game of the year. And it was immediately, and I was getting the text, let's start thinking about trading him for a small forward or for a wing again.
February is just next month.
We were getting it already, and they are not doing that. They are not moving. There's no talk of anybody else. The only talk there is if Caris LeVert's going to be involved in some consolidation trade, and there are cap implications to that, not because Caris hasn't been great this year. I'm skeptical. I don't think they're going to do that, but we'll see. I do think people will overreact. When we build up games like this and then it's on national television, we will overreact. But you know what?
It's a big game tonight.
What if we just win? What if we just go out and win by 10? They don't have Chet Holmgren. And that's you would think that would be a big advantage for Evan Mobley tonight. I mean, who is stopping Evan Mobley? He can get a little loose with his dribble. Hasn't much lately. He's been great with his dribble. Really? But this is a team that can take it from him. But I also think if Evan gets the ball within 8 feet of the basket, it's a finish because they don't have anybody down there who can really rim protect. They have Hartenstein. He's probably going to start tonight, but I don't think he's going to get in the way. He might try to push around Evan like it was 2 years ago. That might be something to watch, by the way. Because remember, it was him and
Mitchell Robinson. You're right.
That really got physical, and it bothered Jared Allen, and it really bothered Evan Mobley. I don't know that Evan looks to be about 15 pounds heavier than maybe he was 2 years ago.
I already gained 20.
20? Yeah.
Swear to God.
And you know what? If that's what you're hearing now, you would think he would have ran some of those pounds off by now. And the fact that he hasn't shows that this is him. This is Evan Mobley. This is where his body is going to be, which I think is really, really exciting.
I love it. 216-474-0092. Yeah, this is a big game tonight. Those are two big things to watch. And I don't want anybody to overreact, but there's so few times that you get to try to preview what we're going to see in a deep playoff run. I can't just put it off to overreaction and say that, well, no matter what happens tonight, if they win by a ton, if people are saying NBA Finals, I'm going to love it. If we lose by a bunch and DG looks terrible, I'm going to hate it, but I'm going to have to deal with it because you get so few chances to really preview what you could see in the finals. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against your Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. There's a story behind that, damn it. Mitch, please, go ahead.
All right, guys. Yesterday, the New York Jets confirming their interview with a familiar face, former head coach Rex Ryan. Now, before his interview this week, Ryan made a spot on ESPN New York, telling Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg things will be different in the Meadowlands if he's running the team next season.
Well, I'm saying this. I just painted a picture on why you wouldn't, if you were the Jets, why you would have pause on bringing him back. And clearly, when you have a guy that doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, and by the way, is your quarterback coming off an injury, I think that's an absolutely ridiculous message you sent to the team. Obviously, if he comes back, things would be different. If he's back, it ain't going to be the country club, you know, show up whenever the hell you want to show up. That ain't going to happen. So I'll just leave it at that.
This guy's been out of the league since 2016. No. Rex Ryan is a great soundbite. That was a great soundbite. No. However, and this is a disclaimer, this is not a direct comparison to the Browns just by talking about another team. The Jets are a bad franchise. I don't take them seriously, so I might as well be entertained. So yes, please hire Rex Ryan. I might as well be entertained.
That'd be so much fun. He's fun. He's so much fun.
I might as well be having fun with him.
Now, I have to admit, I got to cover him for training camp one year.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be the year they were on Hard Knocks. And every press conference was a circus, but in a fun way, especially during that time of the year. It's before the season starts.
The one time he showed up as Rob Ryan against the Browns, remember? And he put on the wig and the gut.
So he's so quotable. And I love that because in this league, and we're in Cleveland, what are we getting in the way of quotable from anybody associated with the Browns? You might get some Jim Schwartz stuff. You really don't get much at all. And so just as someone who, I don't care if the Jets are good or bad. So give me good quotes. Give me whatever. Now, whether or not Rex Ryan, I bet he can still coach a defense. Even though the game's evolving, I still think Rex Ryan can coach a defense. But that's a coordinator. That's not necessarily a head coach. So I'm not ruling it out that he could be good, but who's his quarterback? Who's going to be their quarterback? I mean, is it Aaron Rodgers?
No.
He can't move.
No.
And he played all right. Somebody corrected
me last
week
and said
he finished up decently.
Yeah.
But he still, their season was over.
I'm not telling you what I think about Aaron Rodgers here until someone calls up and says it. I ain't going to do it. But they don't know who their quarterback is. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. So who's their QB? And where are they? You have to have somebody who's strong enough and strong-willed enough to match whatever intensity or whatever he's saying. It's such a weird thing. Again, they got Mike Tannenbaum, who used to be their general manager, leading the charge of finding their next general manager. Him and Rick Spielman, both 33rd team. So I don't know if you're listening to Ryan that much. Ryan Wilson, CBS, our buddy. They got the first pick. There's only so many things, because he hosts it with Rick. There's only so many things they can say, and they have to like stop segments and stuff, because he's actively looking for a general manager for the New York Jets, and there's certain things he can and can't get into right now, and so he can't be a full-time co-host with Ryan. It's really interesting, by the way, and we carry it on the Odyssey app. But I find it tremendous where it's like, yeah, Mike Tannenbaum used to be your general manager. Now he's going to find another general manager. He's probably going to find a guy like Mike Tannenbaum and probably going to find a head coach like Rex Ryan, and they will probably have to find two new head coaches that hopefully aren't like those guys, or a head coach and a general manager who aren't like those guys in the next 3 years. I don't take the Jets seriously at all, but I want to be entertained. They're not my favorite team. I have no emotional attachment to them. I love the Browns, so if I don't care about the Jets, you might as well entertain me. If I don't like you enough to respect you and watch your football and see what you're doing, you might as well entertain me. And I'm sure there's gold in them there hills, just like I say about the Browns, but I might as well be entertained. All right, tonight, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your Cleveland Cavaliers. Big game for Darius Garland. Big game for Donovan Mitchell. Big game for expectations. Tone, we've talked about it to death. There is one thing I wanted to get in again. We started off the show with Rodney's clip talking about Jimmy Haslam and Jimmy Haslam being in the exit interviews and whether or not Jimmy Haslam should even be in the exit interviews. Here's Rodney McLeod.
Typically, you're going to do your meetings with, of course, AB, ownership, your position group coach, more than likely the coordinator, and of course, the head coach being Kev. Those are probably the five that you're going to meet with in some way. More than likely, ownership takes place too. And that doesn't happen everywhere, to be honest. I've been in certain stops where ownership happens for selective members. Ownership happens for every single player. It just really depends on the organization and their style. I talked to Has. That was probably like 20 minutes. It was a good conversation.
I was a little bit surprised that he was in that, but it makes sense. I know that some listeners were not too thrilled with the idea. It's just because they're a 3-14 team. They're terrible. And you don't want the owner around. You think the owner has been meddlesome. But if you want change, the owner's going to have to get involved. No one's going to fire these guys except for the owner. And who likes Paul DiBodesta around here? Show of hands. Who trusts Paul DiBodesta with football? Nobody. If Jimmy steps away, who's he going to put in charge? It's going to be Paul DiBodesta. So Paul DiBodesta isn't going to go away from his guy, Kevin Stefanski, and isn't going to go away from his guy, Andrew Berry. So if you're one of the ones who want change, wholesale changes, don't trust any of this, why wouldn't you want the owner to get involved? But that's just based on your fantasy. If I were Jimmy Haslam, I don't think I'd be doing a radio show in the morning, but if I were Jimmy Haslam, if it were me, the owner of a 3-14 football team, yes, I'd like to hear the opinion. I don't think I would be in there talking to one of the draft picks from this year. I don't think I would be in those meetings. But I would want to hear a 13-year vet who started with a team that eventually moved with the St. Louis Rams, won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles, ended up in Indianapolis and played for Jeff Saturday, who went from ESPN to the sidelines. He's seen greatness and dysfunction throughout his entire career. He's lived the best and worst of all the worlds. Jim Irsay's drinking buddy, quote by Joe, loved it. He's seen that. I want his opinion on this. I want to know, hey, honestly, and I would want to meet with him privately on his exit interview because he has nothing left to hold back. And Rodney's a good man and doesn't want to say anything bad about the teammates. So I don't know if I'm going to get the unvarnished truth about the team. You don't get the truth about the coaches.
That's so interesting.
You get the truth about how he is perceiving how this is handled around good organizations and bad ones.
He's played elsewhere. He has teammates he talks to. He has people around the league he talks to. Remember, all these surveys come out at the end of the year. There's a lot of crowdsourcing going on. All these teams want to know what's going on everywhere else. It's why a lot of assistants are plucked from other places. It's why Mike Vrabel was brought in. It wasn't just to get expertise from Mike Vrabel on how to block or how to do special teams, right? Or tight ends. Okay? It's also to see how the league works. These guys all go around. Remember, Sean Payton took a year off. Was it just to do TV and get a fat paycheck? Maybe. Sure. What was he also doing?
It doesn't hurt making money, but you're surveying the landscape. You're learning things. And when you're on TV, all these teams, they roll out the red carpet for you. So you get to see behind-the-scenes stuff that you would have never have seen because they're so protected when you are a coach in the league, obviously. But when you're there, hey, they roll it out for you, especially when you're a training camp.
I just want people to think about this as we leave. So you don't want Haslam to be a part of any of these processes, okay? When people are done with Andrew Berry, and a lot of people are done with Kevin Stefanski.
Uh-huh.
Who do you want making decisions? And nobody wants Paul DiPodesta to move within 3,000 miles of this place.
I think it's... So, well, he's already within 3,000 miles. So.
What do you want? I don't know.
Barely.
You seen the fires out there?
Oh, that's...
Kind of scary.
That is.
But
scary. God bless those people.
But what do you want? What do you want right now? Because if you want a total house cleaning, who do you want to conduct a search? You want the 33rd team to come on in? You want Corn
Ferry? I would rather have Jimmy Haslam and the Haslams conduct the search than Corn Ferry or the 33rd team.
Isn't Joe Banner on the 33rd team?
Holy. all comes back around. Magazine again. Oh my God in heaven.
Ken, 31-4.
Yeah. Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4. Can't ignore 31-4.
Well, let's hear it. Come on. Let's go, Cavs. Biggest game of the
let's
year.
Let's go.
National
let's
television.
Go. Rain threes. He knocks it down.
Why don't we just win by 15? We've been doing
I'm
it all year.
Winning by 15.
Why can't we just do it tonight?
Let's do it.
Evan Mobley.
Kick ass.
Who's going to guard him? Who's going to guard Evan Mobley?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, kick his ass. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, kick his ass too.